This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk, November 4th, 2014. We're here to help you to find your way through the maze of today's financial world because it is pretty complex. It gets, you know why it's so complex? Well, it's always been complex, but it's worse now than it was 20 years ago because you have access to so much more information, instant access to more and more and more information. That does not make it simpler. It makes it much more complex. The information is good information. I'm not talking about bad information. I'm just talking about more of it that you have to sift through. So we're here to see if we can help you sift through it. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time every day. We're on live on the radio on investtalk.com and, of course, all our podcasters. We'd love to hear you. Our number is 888-99-CHART if you want to call and ask any question. Coming up next week, we have our Wealth Workshop webinar. Say that three times fast. Wealth Workshop webinar. It's on the November 12th at 6:30 Pacific time. In this 1 hour, we're going to cover a lot of territory fast, if you have to. That way, but later it'll be on available for people who want to re-listen to it if they want. So they, if we go too fast, you can always go back eventually. It's a pretty much a lot of important topics that we're going to cover. We're going to talk about practical money matters that impact everybody every day. We'll discuss topics like wills and trusts, one of the least understood essentials to retirement planning. We'll also address life insurance, 529, Coverdell college savings plans. We'll have some ideas for you in IRA and 401ks. We'll also have some answers about annuities. You know, people have a lot of questions about them. We'll show you how to use an effective tool for analyzing your risk tolerance and exposure, a demonstration of how it works. It's all for free. We'll also include some strategies for Social Security and finally how to position aggressive and conservative portfolios, how to position them. It's difficult. I was talking to someone today about, you know, he wanted to buy some good solid corporate bonds, and he was telling me how difficult it is to find them. Because, you know, if you're an individual and you're looking for bonds, unless you have millions of dollars, bond traders and bond desks don't really want to deal with you. It's so small, it's a nuisance to them. They can't make enough money. So therefore, what you do get offered is kind of the leftovers, many times, leftovers of what's out there. Not the best rates, not the best companies, not the best, even if you get high quality, you're still not getting a good price for them. Difficult. So what do you do about that? It's just difficult. Anyway, so that's what it's going to be about, our wealth webinar coming up again. That's on the 12th at 6:30 Pacific time. So I hope you can join us. To sign up, you have to sign up. It's free, but you got to sign up. You got to register. You can do that right now if you like. Go to investtalk.com. And I hope you really can join us. It's going to be on Wednesday, November 12th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Now let's hear your voice on the program. You can talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time on InvestTalk, or in between times, just leave your question. Here's our first question of the day from our 24-hour list line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi there, Steve and Justin. This is Chris from Washington, D.C., podcast listener. I wanted to know about hedging my portfolio. During this time, I have no idea if the market's going to continue upward or if there's going to be a change in direction or a bear market or anything like that. If I wanted to hedge my portfolio and invest in an inverse fund, like an inverse ETF, what percentage of my portfolio should I devote to something like that? Would it be like 10% of my portfolio? Is that an appropriate hedge, or 20%? Is there a general rule of thumb? All right, thanks a lot. I enjoy listening to your show.
Well, there is some mutual funds out there called 70-30 funds, and they have 30% hedge, 70% long, 30% short. But it really is an individual decision. How much risk do you want to hedge off? Because when you're at risk, meaning if you're 100% in the market, there's risk. There's all that risk. How much of that risk do you want to hedge off? And don't you know, you might have very solid companies that you don't want to sell, And they may not go down with the market. They may go down less. Maybe they're less volatile than the market. So if you hedge the market and you have stocks that are less volatile than the market, then you can hedge less because your stocks may not go down as fast. Then again, if you have high growth, high tech, you know, very high beta stocks, very risky, high, you know, they may go down much faster than the market, so you might want to hedge more. So it's impossible to say how much is a normal hedge, how much is an appropriate hedge. It's all individual. How much risk are you taking? Let's take a look at your portfolio. Do you have a combination of bonds and stocks? And then you don't need to hedge as much if you have a combination. So it depends on what you have. You have a lot of foreign stocks, you might want to hedge more. But then again, how comfortable are you being long the market? Maybe you don't want to hedge at all, just ride it through. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Everybody's different. Okay, everybody's different. So there's no quote-unquote appropriate amount. And I do like hedging off exposure to the market using short ETFs. When we talk about active and passive portfolio management, what do we really mean? Which approach is best for you specifically? Or do you have to really decide active or passive? That's going to be one of our talking points today. I think you'll find that very interesting. Also, the U.S. trade deficit surges 7.6%. Our deficit, in other words, we imported a lot more than we exported. Well, why is that happening? Now, traditionally, over a long period of time, we've always imported more than we exported. But there's a specific reason why it's happening now. China's car sales. Did you see almost every automobile maker in the world cut their auto sales at projections to China this year? I think that's interesting. We might want to talk about. And, of course, today is Election Day. I hope you will get out there and voted. Please do so if you didn't. But after the midterm elections, what does the market history tell us? I'm going to go back to 1930 because that's what I have the statistics for. Is it good or bad after the midterm elections? We're just talking about midterm elections. There's been 30 of them. Let's see. 1930. So we'll talk about that more. I don't want to give all of my stats out. And lower oil prices. Have you seen what's happening? I know Justin's been talking about it. I'm going to talk about it. Why is that so important? Because lower oil prices here in the United States means really a lot of more money in people's pocket to spend on other things. But is it a good thing? Not just the United States, but how about worldwide? Is it good to have lower oil prices? You'll have arguments about that, by the way. So I want to explore that a little bit with you. And do you know who the biggest producers are? I know you're going to say Saudi Arabia. Are they the largest producers, biggest oil producer in the world for 2013? Is it Saudi Arabia? And you would be wrong if you did guess that. Not. So those kind of things we can talk about. Oil production, oil prices. You know, we're down below $80 a barrel. And why isn't OPEC cutting production? I think we need to explore that, at least find some. Get some more detail about what's going on there. 888-99-CHART is our number. The market today, what happened to it? The market was kind of mixed to down. The Dow was up 15 points, but the S&P was down 6. The Nasdaq was down 15. It was more of a down day than an up day today. But I don't want you to feel that it was real negative. It wasn't. It's the market has topped the last couple of days, have seen it slow down because it was very fast rebound from the 10% fall. Extremely fast. Faster than anybody believed that would happen. Okay, what does that tell us? Is that telling us something? You know, market is like, it's very difficult to understand the language of the market. Is that telling us something? We've had very good earnings. That's one of the reasons why the market has rebounded better than expected. And then most of the CEOs were projecting pretty decent earnings going forward. In light of Europe that's fallen into the third recession in 6 years, in light of China slowing down, and, of course, Japan struggling. But then again, the EU is meeting this week. Are they going to do a QE-type stimulus packs. I was talking to Justin today. I think that they are going to try to do something. They just can't do what we can do with our, like our Federal Reserve could do, because they got, remember, all the different politics going on in all the different countries. They don't have a central bank with, you know, fiscal policy for every country doing the same thing. They're all doing different things, and all the economies are different strengths and weaknesses. And so you can't be, you know, a central bank there, the ECB, the European Central Bank, can't do and what we can do, and their charter doesn't allow them to be as flexible as our Federal Reserve. Doesn't allow them to do what we can do. So, but they could do many things that they could implement. They could do things, and I think they probably will. Germany is the one that said, no, you guys haven't even, you know, your austerity programs, you haven't done hardly anything along those lines, and you haven't changed your systems. So Germany is fighting it. Of course, now Germany's growth is shrinking too. They might fall into recession. Anyways, there's another way to get to the conversation if you want. At InvestTalk, you just get your questions to us. Send a message to us via Twitter at InvestTalk, at InvestTalk with two T's. You can get your question to me anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call 888-99-CHART. Personally, I like to hear from you, your voice.
This is InvestTalk. As we continue, one of the biggest challenges is the transition that one makes from their working lives into their retirement years. Need some help with that? We're here for you. Give Steve a call now at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Saeed in San Francisco. How you doing, Saeed?
Yeah. Oh, hi. Good. Thank you very much. IVIO, it's Ebola stocks, and I just wonder, today closed at 119. What do you think about this stocks we're going to?
Okay, this is IBO, IBO, IBIO Inc.
Correct.
Symbol
yes,
IBIO.
Correct.
It develops proprietary technology for the production of biologics, including vaccines and therapeutic proteins. This is the problem you have with this company. It doesn't make any money. It's never made any money. You need to turn off your radio or down your radio. Doesn't make any money. It's never made any money. Management has been selling stocks as the stock went up to $2.50. They've been selling it, sellers of it. There's really, even though they have a, you know, a couple of contracts, they're not going to make any money. This company is not something I would buy. It spiked up from like 30 cents to $2 and $3 or so because of the fear about Ebola, and now here it is, two weeks later, down to $1.19. Very, very speculative, Saeed, and I wouldn't get near it. I don't think it's something you would want to buy. It's too speculative. It's like going to Las Vegas. Thanks, Saeed. Appreciate the call. IBIO is the symbol. Develops biologics, vaccines, therapeutic proteins, that kind of thing. Now, how can you protect your portfolio from market corrections? Can you do that? Yeah, obviously, you can. You can protect it. There's nothing wrong with protection. Can you buy ETFs for your Roth IRA? Yes. We welcome any of those kinds of questions. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about passive active investing, talk about the trade deficit when we come back, a couple other things. So just hold on. You're listening to Invest Talk.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on Invest Talk. Looking ahead to the next podcast, aside from your questions, of course, some say investors hold too much in stocks and bonds and need to jack up alternative allocations. So today, are stocks and bonds enough? That's our talking point for Wednesday, November 5th, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. In the meantime, why not use our free risk analysis tool to help you determine your true risk level? It's there for you on investtalk.com. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk, and you're invited to bring any money question to Steve right now. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Time to give me a call. What's on your mind? What do you guys want to talk about? It's always up to you. Yeah, this is your show. You drive the questions. Anyways, forget active and passive investing. How about factor investing? You know what active and passive is? A passive is when you buy indexes, you just hold on to them. Up, down, sideways, no matter what happens, you hold on to them. And over long periods of time, this is a very good way to invest. Then there's active investing, which means you actually make trades, you do things, you move around. But it's very difficult, active investing. But I think more importantly, most people should be investing based on certain factors in not only their life, their retirement, their lifestyle, their, you know, types of asset classes they're comfortable with, what kind of rule. See, a factor investing does different asset classes. It has rules that you, reason why you get out or get in. And, you know, it can outperform, but it can also underperform. But it's based on what's comfortable for you. For instance, maybe you do not want to be in the market. You're approaching retirement. You want some exposure, but not all kinds of exposure. Like you have had all your working years. Now you want to not ride those huge waves that come every so often. Well, there's ways to invest so you can not have to do that. That's passive, active, and then factors. I am a guy who likes to understand what the investor wants you. What suits you? Okay? And if you tell me you're one of these guys, hey, I can buy indexes and just let it sit there for the next 10, 15 years and never have to worry about it, never look at it, then you should use passive investing, buy indexes. You'll do well over long periods of time. Now, it's got to be long periods of time. The problem with that is most people can't do it. Because when they see their portfolio get cut in half, they panic out. That's what happened in 2008. It was more than that in 2000. You know, every so often that happens. And what happens when it's right when you're retiring? Oh, man. See, so most people can't ride it out and wait for the comeback. And to be honest, sometimes a comeback takes forever. You go back to the NASDAQ, and it still hasn't recovered from 2000 to today, 2014. So if you passively invested in the NASDAQ back in 2000 at the top, you still have not made it back after 14 years. That's why most people can't handle that, and it's totally understandable. So maybe the type of investor you should be is more of a, you know, based on the factors in your life and your lifestyle and what you're comfortable with. And I would think that that's what most people do. That's how most people are, including myself, by the way. I do that too. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go talk to James in New York. He wants to talk about Total. How you doing, James?
I'm good, Steve. Yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Great. My pleasure. I had a question of the ticker symbol TOT, T-O-T.
Total.
I've been watching. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I've been watching it for a little bit. I noticed it's kind of around the low points, 52-week low. I was wondering if this would be like an appropriate entry point for something like this, and would that be a long-term hold potentially?
Yes. Total is France's largest oil company. It is a $129 billion company. So it's a worldwide oil company, a big integrated oil company. Not as big as Exxon, but big. I mean, it's really huge. So you really want to buy these kinds, Exxon, Chevron, Total, British Petroleum. You know, these huge integrated companies, you want to buy them when they're on sale, when oil prices are down or falling. So the question you have to ask yourself, James, is oil prices, have they fallen to as far as they're going to go? Is this as low as they're going to go? If your answer to yourself is, I think that's about right, then that's when you want to buy these stocks. Okay, now, it's fallen from 73 all the way down to 55, then made a little comeback, and today it was at 56, 57 today, down $1.20, down 2% today. It's now going to retest that low that it made about a month ago. And James, I would wait a little bit to see if it holds that low. And that low is about $54, $55 a share. And it's been down there three times this year and one just recently. If it goes down there and tests it and starts back up, I'd be a buyer of it. But I kind of think you want to wait to see if oil prices are near their end of going down. And you'll have an argument from some people. Some people say that oil prices are probably going to go down further. I'm of the opinion that they're getting awful close to where they're going to bounce. And I think that, you know, these are kind of a stocks, these big oil companies, these are when you want to buy them. So you want to buy them when they're on sale. I think this is where you start to dab a little bit. Now, Total, sales are going down. Profits are shrinking this year, but rebounding just a tiny bit next year. But it pays a 4.8% dividend. It will always pay that 4.8% dividend. It's not going away. Total, TOT is a symbol. Big integrated oil company out of France. Just because they're out of France, don't get confused, because most of their business is not in France. It's worldwide. For a second opinion on your retirement portfolio, you can schedule an informal meeting with me. My next date coming up is November 19th in San Ramon. You don't need an account with KPP Financial. You don't have to. And there's certainly no obligation of any kind. Just go to investtalk.com and then click on make an appointment. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
This is the Tuesday, November 4th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Some say investors hold too much in stocks and bonds and they need to jack up alternative allocations. Today, are stocks and bonds enough? That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. Of course, still plenty of time to get in touch today. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Dylan in San Jose. How you doing, Dylan?
Good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
What do you think about a stock? The ticker name is Kandi, K-N-D-I.
Kandi Technologies Group, uh-huh. You want to buy it?
I already hold some, and I think you might have missing some more, so I just want to get your thought on it.
Okay, it's a Chinese manufacturer of pure electric vehicles, go-karts, all-terrain vehicles, and other specialized motor vehicles, and they just... Recently did a deal with Alibaba about a payment system, a car share pay program, payment services. So they're doing a little bit different things than that. They're a small company, $732 million. Management owns 36% of the stock, and they're growing sales very fast. Now, they lost 56 cents a share last year, but that was the first year they lost money, and I'm curious as to why. They might have been trying to expand. I don't know, because they made money the years before, but last year they lost 56 cents. This year, they don't have a projection. There's not enough followers of this company. There's no followers that give me some projections. So I'm not sure what they're going to do as far as this year, but sales have been very strong quarter over quarter recently. 170% or so for the last two quarters. Three quarters ago is 90%. Before that, four quarters ago, sales were up 34%. So the sales are accelerating, which is always a positive. So it's a pretty risky situation. Don't think there's not a lot of risk. There's a lot of risk in this stock because it's at $18 or so, $17.48, up 96 cents today. So that's a pretty nice, was it 96 today? No, it was 23 cents today. 96 cents in the last couple of days. So it's done quite well recently. It looks like it's going to have a lot of resistance right around $21, $22 on a chart. It's going to have a hard time getting above that. Very speculative, Dylan. It's like you could try it, but no, remember, it's a Chinese manufacturer, and it's very small. So these companies can really have a lot of movement. I mean, this year, the low has been $3 a share. Well, maybe not quite that low, maybe $5. And this high is $22. and just recently was at 11, now it's 17. Those are huge percentage moves, as long as you can live with that kind of volatility. Not for me, too scary for me. I think I would pass on this one. Dylan, thanks for the call. That's KNDI, everybody. Kandi Technologies, a Chinese company. 888-99-CHART. Since we're on China, let's talk about it. Car sales, and this, of course, does pure electric vehicles. Kandi does. So car sales by Honda, Nissan, BMW, Toyota, all downgraded their projections for sales in China. Last year, sales were up overall 13% for automobile industry. This year, they're thinking might the sales still up, but more like 7%, and they don't think it's ever going to go back up to the double digit. It's going to be like that. Remember, China is getting, it's getting to a point where it's like any other large car market, the EU and the United States. You can't grow 10, 13% every year. It's not going to happen. So China is maturing. Let's say it that way. It's maturing as far as its automobile sales. And they still don't, they still don't have the number of cars per capita as we do or Europe does. And it's going to take them years and years and years to get it. But they are a huge market for automobiles. Remember, the population's huge too. So you got to, remember it's always apples to apples and oranges to oranges. But they are slowing down, and part of it is because their economy is slowing down. This would be normal. Our housing market has slowed down. They have problems with some debt. They've got issues that they're dealing with. Now, I don't think China is going to be... They have so much cash or surplus. If they needed to spend some more and more infrastructure spending to keep their economy going, that's what they'll do. And so they're going to prevent any collapse in their auto market or their housing market. They're not going to let it happen. It's just they're going to do something to prevent it. And they'll probably hide it from us, from the rest of the world. Let's go to Daniel in the Bay Area. He wants to talk about Facebook. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi. Pretty good, Steve. I don't know if I can get away with asking about Facebook and Apple, but I wanted to primarily ask you about Facebook. If now might be a time to take a bite out of it. And if same with Apple, if only if you have time. But
Okay. Both of them, Daniel, are really good companies to own. Facebook is a bit expensive compared to Apple. Apple is actually kind of cheap. You start to compare earnings to their price. Apple's PE is 17, for instance, where Facebook is PE is 49. Then again, Facebook is growing 50, 60, 70%, where Apple is growing 12, 15%. But Apple has been the least expensive of all the big techs, and Facebook and Google kind of expensive. But if you're going to ask, both are very solid companies. Facebook had a recent pullback because the earnings weren't as great as they thought they were going to be. So this might be an opportunity to pick up some Facebook, but don't think it's an opportunity to pick it up cheap. It's still expensive. It's cheaper than it was. I think you can probably put your toe into Facebook if you really want to be an owner. It was $80, which was a new high, dropped down to like $75, and that's kind of where it is right now. That would
be Apple, maybe wait a bit?
Apple is a bit different. If you're looking at a chart of Apple, it's making new highs, 108.
Yeah.
It was kind of hesitating about $100, and now it's broken out. In a breakout, sometimes it's best just to close your eyes and buy some because it broke out.
Gotcha.
I can't tell. Long term, I think Apple's still a pretty good stock. It's got some good momentum going into the final quarter. I think their sales are going to do really well. And, I think people are coming back to Apple and thinking, the new products look good and the computer sales look good. I personally really like the pay system that Apple put out there. I think
that's kind of like it could revolutionize.
It could. It may not, but it could. It could revolutionize like their iPod revolutionized music. This could revolutionize how you pay for things. It could. We'll see.
Good.
I like Apple. And I like Facebook, too. I like them both. Facebook's just expensive. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it. It's time now for InvestTalk 101, Getting the Load Off, Part 2. Last time we talked about no-load mutual funds. Remember that? No-load mutual funds. Those are the ones that have no sales charge, no commissions. But do you know the answer to this question? True or false? Investing in a load fund, where there is commissions, invested in a load fund, which is more expensive, but does the performance justify the load, the commission that you're paying over the long term? True or false? The answer is false. Does not. A load is a sales charge levied by the fund. If you invest $1,000 and you have a 4% load, that means you're only investing $960. Right from the get-go, you have to make up 4% to get caught up to a no-load fund investing in the exact same thing. It's very difficult for them to catch up. Very difficult. And over a long term, it's proven over and over and over that it would be better if you invested in a no-load fund. Especially if you're going to index, there's absolutely no reason to buy a loaded fund. That's InvestTalk 101. Thanks to our friends at the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority for producing this quiz. Is there a topic you want to know more about? Get in touch. We're here right now at 888-99-CHART. Or you can write me. Click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com.
The typical 401k offers subpar investment plan designs and very marginal investment options for you. If you'd like to explore something better, go to InvestTalk.com and click on Contact Justin. And on the message, just write 401k. You'll get some useful information in return that you can share with your employer. Now we continue with a Q&A on InvestTalk.
Okay, we had a spike in our surge in our trade deficit, 7.6% in September. The nation's trade deficit jumped 7.6% in September to the highest level since late spring. Exports to Europe, China, and Japan all fell. It's not because we imported more. It's because we exported less. And, of course, look at those three economies, Europe, China, Japan. All of them are slowing. Those economies are all slowing. And, of course, they're important trading partners. So the surprising trade deficit probably of the 7.6% in September will most likely reduce the GDP that we just had for the third quarter. Remember, they always revise it two times. The first one comes in like 30 days after the announcement of the initial GDP report, which was, what, 2 weeks ago, week ago? And they said that the third quarter GDP was 3.5% growth. What will this do? How much will this trim off of that? And the estimate is probably close to 3% instead of 3.5%. Okay? 3.5%. 3% from 3.5%. That's a pretty big chunk. Now, the big story was a 1.5% drop in exports. That was the big story, the sharpest decline since last February. So our exports dropped sharply. We exported less oil, less petroleum, less steel, aircraft, and pharmaceutical drugs. We fell 3.2% to China, 6.5% to Europe, and 14.7% to Japan. Ow. That's painful for us. So that affects our GDP. When we import more and export less, that trade deficit reduces our GDP. And now if we exported more and imported less, in other words, more went out than came in, then that would add to our GDP. That's how that works. So it's kind of painful. And I want to point out that Justin and I and the guys talked about this morning as we had our normal meetings that we usually have all pretty often about GDP growth. And I pointed out that I don't see how we are going to get away with not feeling the problems that China and Europe are having and Japan and even South America. All the problems they're having economically has to affect us. It's going to start showing up. On the other hand, I'm not saying that it will drag us down into recession, because I don't think it will. but it certainly will affect our GDP growth. It will slow our GDP growth. And remember, all these Japan just, you know, has a huge QE and then just increased it dramatically last week, which made our dollar spike up. That doesn't help our exports when the dollar spikes up. It helps imports to us. That reduces the GDP. See, so a really strong dollar is not helpful to us. It's helpful to everybody else outside of us, but not to us. So I'm talking about economically. Makes our stuff that we want to export more expensive. More expensive. Now, oil is a little bit different animal because it trades around the world in U.S. dollars, not in foreign currency, so the exchange rate doesn't really affect it. So, you know, we are exporting more and more, and we're pumping out, drilling, and finding more and more oil, and we're trying to export it. That's going to be our next talking point here in a few minutes. When you call between programs, we try to answer your questions on the next Invest Talk. 888-99-CHARGE is the anytime number. Let's see if we can answer another question.
Yes, I've got a question for Steve. As Republicans take over the Congress, I know the coal you had mentioned that might benefit from it. What are your thoughts on solar? Would they take a hit if the Republican were to have a majority in Senate? I appreciate the answer. Enjoy your show, and thank you.
I'm not sure they'll take a hit, but, you know, the Republicans generally have less incentives, government incentives to spend on things. And solar, but see, solar is such a popular political football, a popular thing to be a backer of. So I'm not sure Republicans will back away from having incentives for solar. So I don't necessarily think they'll take a hit. The perception might be that it would be not a great place to be, but I don't know if that's the reality of the situation. And you mentioned about the market, Republicans getting in. Essentially, Democrats usually are the market does much better under Democrats. However, when you have one party controlling both houses and the other party controlling the presidency, doesn't matter which party, generally that's very good for the stock market. Better than all one party or a mixed party or the House and the Senate split. It's kind of interesting that it's pretty interesting how that works. We'll talk about that a little bit more detail because I got more information on it as the polls start to close on the East Coast as to the midterm elections here. But what does it mean, these midterm elections? We have just a few minutes left, but there's a line open for you. If you want to get in touch, 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. So do you have a question about any topic that is financial? You can call. Any topic financial, I don't want to talk about politics or, you know, anything, sports. No, this is a financial show. Call us at 888-99-CHART.
Isn't it kind of risky to invest when public sentiment is so negative? Or what's your question? Ask it right now. 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk. Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Invest Talk as we continue. Every investor should take the time to understand what indexes they should be tracking to benchmark their investments. Do you have questions about which ones would be the right ones for you beyond Dow and S&P 500? Talk to Steve about it. Reach him right now at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, well, let's go to Anthony before we get into that. Let's talk to Anthony in Fremont. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Yes.
Go ahead.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I'm calling about a pharmaceutical company called Sanofi, ticker symbol SNY. I'm looking to buy it, and it's hanging around at the bottom of the 52-week low.
Okay.
And wanted to get your take on it to see if it's a good time.
Okay, let's take a look. It's a French developer of pharmaceuticals. It's a large company, a very large company, $119 billion company. It's huge. So it, you know, it's pharmaceutical products, vaccines, various therapeutic areas is where they have. And their growth is kind of anemic, but, you know, that's pretty common for these big pharmaceuticals. They have trouble growing because they're so big. So you look at a dividend, they're paying 2.9%, not a very big dividend. And they're not expensive at 13 PE. That's not, you know, that's not like they're expensive. They're probably, you know, that's below market PE, which is good. And they have a beta 85, which means they're less volatile than the market. So on a company like this, you want to just buy it when it's on sale. See if you can get it cheap. That's really what you're looking for. And the question is it cheap? It was selling at $57 just a month or two ago, and now it's at $45.49. It looks like it had a bad sales quarter sales because it looks like a gap down very strongly about a week or so ago. Did you see that, Anthony? I guess we lost.
Yeah, that's why I kind of picked up on, and you know, I thought it was a good chance to pick some up.
It has strong cash flow. It's a good, solid company. And, yes, you want to buy this when it's on sale. I might suggest you wait for it to start to recover a little bit. It looks like it's just chattering the last three or four or five days near that bottom. And let's wait for it to come up, you know, to a few more dollars from that bottom. That's what I would do. I'd want to buy it when it starts to strengthen because it could languish down here for months and months, you know, so... I'd wait a little bit longer. Buy it on strength.
Yeah.
Keep it on your watch list, but buy it on some strength.
Yeah.
Okay?
If I could, can I ask a broader question?
Sure.
Is because, you know, many weeks ago, the stock market made a correction, and then it just came right back up. So I was just wondering, for the next, let's say, to February, what do you feel about... And yet another correction, given what we know so far, you know, with the China slowing down, Ebola, and, you know, election and all that. I mean, what's your feel? Is there a kind of still a chance, a strong chance, a weak chance?
Anything? I think there's a pretty decent chance for us to have another correction. And I've been saying all year, I've been writing last year, I mean, at the beginning, in January, late January, I wrote to all my clients and I said, you know, this year is going to be... a lot tougher than the year before, a lot tougher for the market, and not because of the United States, but always because, and I've been saying all this length of time, because stuff happened outside the United States, Europe, China, South America, Russia, you name it, outside our country is where our problems have been coming from to our market and our economy. But our economy has been pretty resilient. But as I said earlier this hour, I don't see how we cannot be affected by weakening Europe and weakening China and Japan. Now, notice we cut our QE and they are increasing their QE. So they're going to put money in. That money is going to find to the marketplace. So it doesn't necessarily mean our economy, you know, our stock market's going to go down. But I do think our market may go down because of a slowdown in our economy. But the odds are...
And you think is that going to show through the holidays?
I don't. I actually think the market's probably going to rally to the end of the year and into the beginning of next year because of various things. Part of it is because of midterm elections. Usually in midterm elections, when one party controls both the House and Senate and another party controls the presidency... that's positive for the market. Plus, we're coming into the strongest time in the market. So I think it's time to be in the market, not necessarily out. But I must admit, I still have some hedges that I have. I do. I still have, but I'm probably going to exit them. We'll see how the market goes. Before we close for the hour, coming up in a week or so, our Wealth Workshop webinar. That date is November 12th at 6:30 Pacific Time. In this 1 hour, we're going to cover a lot of territory, everybody. Important topics, essential organizing, retirement kind of topics. I hope you can be there. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.